I'm so sorry, Chris.
That's awesome.
I went to hit mute because I needed to cough, and I clicked on the hang up button.
It makes me think about, though, like, I guess we'll hang this as a part one, part two on YouTube.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
And then you can just rip the audio down. I was just saying it happens for sure. It's anyone that knows the interface for Skype, the buttons are pretty close together actually. Like if you're trying to do it quick, you've got the mute, you've got the turn your camera off, and then right beside it is the end call button. And it doesn't give you any "Are you sure?" So you hit the button and it's gone. I actually got worried for a second, like, oh my gosh, something earthquake in your hometown.
Really sorry about that, buddy.
No, not at all, man. Not at all. I'll just wrap it with, you know, that idea of whether or not you would want to be able to access that information. And if you have experienced trauma of some sort, if you have experienced trauma and you have also, let's say, photographic memory, and I'm really simplifying this because I understand that there are definitely memories that when they become emotionally charged, like, it doesn't matter if you have photographic memory, that stuff stays with you, right? But the power of forgetting, and if there's something valuable to being able to forget stuff.
I would say that there probably is. I would say if we could recall everything, we might be overwhelmed. We might be led down a path that maybe we shouldn't be going. It's not good for us. I don't know. I just think, obviously, to me, it's all built in a way. It's there for a reason. And I know people are going to chase down trying to find something that they're not supposed to find, right? Because that's human nature too. So it's very interesting that I believe we're built as humans. Our brain operates in a particular way for a particular reason. But then there are those of us who decide we want to know why we are built the way we are, and why we can't access those things. And then we'll go in search to access those things. So it's a very interesting dynamic. You're built a particular way, but you're given enough freedom to go against it and to try to, like, bump up against it and figure it out. Very interesting. But I'm with you. I believe that there's a reason why our brains let it go or erase it. You know, I want to say maybe it's because we don't have enough storage up there, but I don't believe that for a second, because I know that based on science and research, we're only using a fraction of what our brains can do. And why aren't we using more of it? I don't know. I don't know what science says. Is it because we don't know how to access it, or we just don't know what to do with it? I don't know. But the whole thing's very interesting. But there are people researching it and trying to figure out why. And then of those people, there are probably people there who are trying to figure out what they can do in terms of pharmaceuticals or something to get you to be able to not erase that stuff. Like, there's that whole messing with the system and then people monetizing it and whatever, you know?
Would you want to have... It becomes... This combo becomes almost too academic, I think, in some ways. But would you want to be able to access your full memory? And I guess you have to say, like you would have the choice to. You're choosing to be able to... So it's not random, where there's no barriers. You can just, like, go in and... God, I even have, like... There's a Netflix... What's it called? There's a Netflix show about memory games, which is fascinating. Like, there's a memory Olympics, like memorizing strings of numbers, phrases, and these individuals that are talking about this is what they do competitively. Like, they are able to recall masses of amount of information with prompting. Like, they have methods for doing that. But I don't know. I think to myself, like, wow, would I really want to be able to do that? Would I really want to be able to remember everything? I don't know.
For me, it depends. For me, it depends. It depends on how brave I'm feeling about the content that I want to bring back to life.
Yeah.
Because there's some that I don't, but there's some that I'd like to. Like when you and I were talking about our dads, the dad smoking episode, there are some things that I would like to remember about my dad in certain situations. But then there's other things that I don't want to remember. You know, it was funny. My son was joking with me the other day about a situation of me as like a very young boy and how I had ruined one of my favorite toys and my mom had to throw the toy out. And my son was saying to me, you know, how could you have ruined your favorite toy? And I'm like, I don't remember what happened. I remember the essence that I was upset that my favorite toy had been thrown out. And it's a comedic story. So, you know, when my mom tells it to my wife or my kids, they laugh because it's funny. I'm the only one that doesn't find it funny because my favorite toy was ruined. But, you know, my son was saying, what were you thinking? Like, what were you doing? And I'm like, I don't know, but I wish I could go back and remember that situation. Then there's other situations in my life that I wish not to remember that I actually wish I could just delete. It happened. I don't want to say it didn't happen, but to delete it so that I never have to go back to that essence, right? So I guess it's here and there. Like, it depends on your perspective, depends what you're looking to get out of it. I don't know. I'd love to hear what other people think. You know, are there certain things that they can't truly remember that they would like to? Are there things that they remember vividly that they wish that they couldn't or didn't? I don't know. You know, I'm sure if we're feeling this way, others are feeling this way too.
I have had the moment where I've thought back. I like how you bring up the childhood thing. And I'm thinking about my current way of thinking. I'm thinking about my thinking on a subject, a topic right now. And then I try to source it. So I'm excavating, going back through what sometimes feels like tangible memory, sometimes feels like something a little bit more fictional. And there are those moments where I think to myself, it would be good. Well, maybe this is why people journal and do diary, but basically researching yourself and how you've become the person that you are, there's a whole untapped space there of memory that, you know, just by remembering something, as it's been explained to me, you automatically change it. Like, you don't necessarily, in general, we don't necessarily recreate it exactly as it was, because you actually only have your perspective on it. So that doesn't give you the full three dimensions. And often I think we sort of project three dimensions onto it. So in this case, me thinking about why I was getting upset about something and then tracking back into a memory of, you know, where I remembered getting upset about something else, and then thinking to myself, well, that's the reason. I know why that happened, but I don't have any of the data from the person that I got upset at. So I didn't actually have the best information to be able to understand exactly why this particular thing was upsetting me. So I had a conversation with a kid the other day talking about studying skills. And I mentioned to him that he could look up, do some research and look up memory palace activities. And the whole idea of memory palace is that you encode information as you remember it and then store it in a space that's familiar to you. And then what you're able to do is go into that memory palace, and your strings of information that kind of wrap a memory become your Dewey Decimal System to go back in and actually find those memories again. So he was fascinated by it. So he's doing this research, because what he's looking to do is, he wants to, what he's trying to do right now is he's trying to hijack his ADHD. So he's trying to, for him, his particular flavor of ADHD, the way it sort of comes together for him, is that he is hyper-focused and he takes in a lot of information and then loses time. So he goes in and he doesn't really come up for air, and then he'll sort of like click back into what's going on around him 5-7 minutes later, and he's lost track of what's happening outside of his head. So you know, you could call it that there's it's basically hyperactive attention. Like, he's just paying attention to his thoughts. So where he's going is that he would love to have a way to categorize those, so he doesn't feel, so he feels like he can walk away from those thoughts for a little bit and still go back and continue those thoughts. So that was mid last week that he and I were having that conversation. And it was fascinating because it totally plays into what we're talking about memory right now. But it also plays into something kind of academic, like study skills. So how do you become self-aware enough of your learning, your memorizing? It's not really memorizing, though. How your memory functions, how your storage functions, and whether or not you can actually hijack how that stuff get stored or how you experience it in real time. Yeah, he's a grade 9 student, so who knows where it'll sort of end up. But I think it's cool that he's asking good questions. This kid always asks really great questions, and I know they're good questions because I don't have answers for them. That's how I know a kid has asked a really great question. I'm totally stumped. I was like, I really don't know. This kid also asked, what's the speed of cortisol in a stress response? It's like, that's a good question. So he's been asking the science teacher, he's been trying to research it. I think his question needs some, he's sort of found that his question needs some shaping, because he's trying to understand it in a physical movement, as in when cortisol, when you're stressed out, is released into your system. Mm-hmm. Physically, how fast does it move? And he wants something relative, like 50 kilometers an hour. Like, he wants to know that type of a speed.
Wow.
As opposed to, I said, it might just be a reaction time measurement, as in it's instant. Well, you could do it, I guess, instantaneously dispersed into your system. But maybe the question could be, what is the fastest reaction time between knowing that you're stressed and just, like, cortisol is already released into your system by the time you notice that you're stressed. So what's the shortest possible time from release to you noticing? See, it kind of, like, there were so many different ways to come at it, but he wants to know in physical speed. He's looking at adrenaline and cortisol. How fast does that actually physically move through your system?
Interesting.
But yeah, so for him, he this past week he was talking about memory. He was talking about memory and trying to figure out how he could get a stronger hold of it, maximize it in his operating system.
Who would have ever thought that we'd be talking about this stuff on our podcast this week?
We never know what we're going to talk about.
That's true.
We're going to talk about.
So when I found out that we weren't going to podcast yesterday morning, I decided I was going to go to my barber, get my beard trimmed. Mm-hmm. The place opens at 9 a.m. I pulled in at 8:55 a.m. and I saw like 15 people standing in line waiting at the door. Pulled into a spot, backed out of the spot and left. Mm-hmm. Went and ran some errands. Got back home about an hour later. No beard trim, but other things got done. So that's good. So now I'm feeling like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't go and wait that long to get my beard trimmed.
No.
If I do it myself, I'll wreck it. And I'll have to get rid of it all.
And you're definitely at that stage where it shows. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you've got enough growth there that choose your next move wisely. And for those of you that are not watching the video, I was just to be, you know, perfectly honest, I was totally totally jelly of the beard, considering I am not rocking any beard right now whatsoever. The whole November thing is...
You're raising money for a good cause.
Yep, I am. So I'll sit on that. I appreciate that, and I'm going to probably get back to that project in a week. But yeah, you want to make this next step with your beard. Make the right move, man.
Thanks, Christopher.
You're welcome. I did like your comment though about going seeing the 15 people lined up yesterday. I was running errands yesterday. Had the event with my daughter. She was taking the babysitting course, mm-hmm. and it was out in the west end of my region, all the way out in Vaughan. So I stopped by Vaughan Mills. Have you ever gone to Vaughan Mills, or heard of it?
I've heard of it for sure.
Yeah. So Vaughan Mills is like this mega mall. It's mega popular. It has some outlet stores in it. Actually, I guess it is probably, it's mostly outlet stores, but it's mega. And I thought to myself, while she's doing her thing, I'll run and do some errands. I'll check out, you know, maybe do a little bit of shopping. No. So I got there, got a spot right beside the Tesla recharging station, which I thought was cool. I'd never really seen one of those before. Walked in, thought to myself, I'll get a coffee, kind of just relax a little bit. No, so many people waiting, and nothing was open yet. I think stuff opened at 10. I got there at 9:40. By 10, I was ready to leave, and shops hadn't even opened yet. So yeah, a friend of mine was having a book launch.
Yes, I saw pictures.
So I'll, you know, props to Eugene and Eleanor Chun, their book release, The Invisibles. Oh, sorry, no, Invisibles. Check it out. It's cool. It's about screen time and making sure you're paying attention to the world, too, not just staying on screens. So, yeah, they this is their second edition of this book. They went back in and tweaked it and edit it and made it cooler. So yeah, I went and visited them, and you know, represented the sort of our so he's a teacher at our school, so kind of represented the school family. There a bunch of the teachers came out, which is cool. But yeah, I did that, and I took myself out for lunch, and then slowly made my way back over to where my daughter was having her session. But I tell you, it was traumatic. It was traumatic to be in that mall. And I thought to myself, this is the year. This is the year where everything's going to be online shopping.
Interesting.
Yeah, I did not enjoy it. I did not enjoy it at all. And I can't put myself in that space of, well, it's work, so just get it done. I'm like, no. If I'm going to be spending money on, you know, gifts and stuff for people in the upcoming season, then I have to find a way to enjoy some of it.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
We've been doing a lot of online shopping. We've been doing a lot. Boxes are showing up, and got to make sure you know what they're for. And the kids did something very interesting recently.
I had your own kids?
Yeah, my kids. I had purchased some stuff. And I get home, and one of the boxes wide open. The receipt's in one spot of the room, and the product is in the other. And I just looked at them. I said, "What is this?" And the big brother who opened it says, "Well, the little brother told me I should open it." And I said, "Okay, let's be clear. Anything that's delivered to the house that has my name on it or your mom's name on it, you're not opening ever again." And they're like, okay. So my wife gets home and I tell her, and she's appalled. You know, she's like, "Who told you to open it?" And they're like, "Nobody. We just decided we wanted to see what was in the box." And she's looking at me like, if this is what's going to happen over the next month, we're going to be in big trouble type of thing. So anyway, she made it clear to them they weren't to do that anymore. And so they haven't, but you know, when you have a 13-year-old and a 9-year-old together and they're feeling a little mischievous, anything can happen. That's worrisome. Very worrisome.
My kids haven't, I don't know how they haven't started to like do that stuff. I don't know how they haven't started to sort of check boxes or
after your tweet yesterday, you that tweeted
got, about that got some good combos. There were some good combos that came out of that.
I deleted all my messages in the tweet because of what someone said about, you know,
Jen Brown.
Oh, is that who was Jen Brown?
Yeah, Jen Brown.
Do you know Jen Brown?
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
I do. It was a very, I thought that was a really interesting perspective. I had not considered that.
So I went ahead and just removed myself from the conversation because if one of mine decide to go searching, they will see exactly what I said, how I said it. Now, for those people who are listening,
careful how you're watching.
Christopher Clough was just asking about the whole concept and idea of Santa Claus and how one would go about explaining to their children about this, the idea and the concept.
So the full details. The full details. How do you explain the full details?
I'm hoping that people can infer from what I'm saying and what Chris just said that they can infer, you know, a little bit more about what we're talking about. And I had said my piece, and then I realized after Jen Brown, who I don't know, Jen Brown made a comment about, you know, that our digital worlds and that big siblings are always, and little siblings are always watching and
can
easily see what we're discussing, that maybe we should be discussing this in such an open forum.
So the thing, the thing that she pointed out, and it came from a post from is it Pernil Rip? I think that's her name, Pernil Rip. And she had posted the original post just talking about what do discussions around the season and the characters in the season and the mythology of the season. What does that look like in your family? And Jen pointed out maybe this would be a better conversation to have on DMs because the kids are watching. I was like, mic drop moment. That was a good little mic drop moment. Now I think people still kept on talking about it, and as it happens. But that was an excellent little bit of thought fuel because it hadn't occurred to me.
So, it's funny that we're talking about this today because just the other day, my son and I went to the mall to visit Santa, one of Santa's helpers, because my son says, you know, I know he can't be everywhere all the time, so he's got to have people assist. I said, yeah, that's, you know, what you said there makes complete sense to me. And so it's funny because I find myself not saying much. I'm just like, okay, yeah, So we went and he had his little conversation with Santa, and it was good. It's a tradition with him now. He's 9, but he doesn't care. It's what we do. And we try to do it early in the season because then there's not a lot of lines. So it's funny, we get to the mall. We get to Santa's area. There's a name for it. I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, Santa's village or whatever. We get there and there's like 3 people in line. So he's looking at me like, this is awesome. I'm going to be in and I'm going to be out. And you know, at the front of the line is one of his friends from his class. So he kind of waves at her and I say hello to the parents and then she does her thing. They leave. The next couple of people do their thing. Then he's up. He does his thing, you know, really happy about it. Gets a candy cane afterwards. I buy him dinner. He loves to get food from the food court in the mall. And we go home. It was successful outing to visit Santa. Will your kids visit Santa?
Likely. Yeah, likely. They
And will they bring it on, or will you or your wife say, hey, let's go to the mall and visit Santa?
It could be both. They'll totally do it. Sometimes they don't always clue into some of the seasonality things. Like it sometimes catches them off guard. Like they know the season that we're in right now, but I don't know if they really have a measure, which is bizarre, of the kind of the dates. I'll say a big part of this is that they never watch cable. It's a really fascinating phenomenon that I've been observing in my kids over the past, I'm going to say 3-4 years. Because they don't watch cable TV, they pretty much only are watching Netflix. That's it. If they consume content on TV, they're only watching Netflix. So all that queuing system that happens because and they don't watch a lot of YouTube movies. Like they're not heavy consumers of that. They're missing out on all those queuing systems of, hey, guess what time of the year it is. So in a lot of ways, they're quite dependent on Karen and I to kind of do the reminders. So we'll go, but to be honest, it'll likely be because we've said, okay, we're going to go get this done. Let's do it. And they do enjoy it. They do enjoy it. They enjoy the seasonality of it. They enjoy, you know, going and having that consultation with the big man. So, but it'll likely have to be Karen and I kind of prompting, saying, okay, now's our opportunity. Let's go check it out.
And that's why I wanted to do it. That's why I've set in his mind to do it early, because, you know, we could do it mid-December, but holy cow. Like, I feel like it's going to be, well, we've seen it really busy.
Yeah.
Like when we're at the mall in December. And I like the vibe of the mall, right? Like, I like the vibe of the mall, so I'll go to the mall, and it's a zoo. You know, people have their babies, kids everywhere. Like, the line's long. So
do you pay for a photo?
No, I take my own, which is always, it's interesting. Eh? You walk up, and they're like, hi. I'm like, hey, we're here to see Santa. And they're like, okay, would you like to get a package? And I'm like, no. Then there's that moment of, you know, they look at you like, you're not going to pay for the package. And I'm like, no.
I'm they're watching to see if you're like this. Like, you're sort of at your holster with your iPad or your mobile phone, just ready, like, click, 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 click.
I said, no, I'm going to take my own picture. Is that okay? And they're like, of course it is. Go ahead. But they were the keeper of the gate. They're not going to let you in until they've asked you that question, right?
It's true.
And I noticed this year at the mall, there's a fast pass.
We always get it. I got to be honest.
Then you pay for your pictures.
Yeah, we do.
Even the way you say it, you seem so down about it. Like,
you know,
yeah, we pay for the pictures.
Well, I look at it. It's like Wonderland Pizza. Wonderland Pizza. You go get a cheese pizza from Wonderland, a medium-sized pizza. It's going to cost you $25. You actually buy it from Pizza Pizza, it costs you like 12. Mm-hmm. So it's the Wonderland Pizza factor. So you're getting 8 pictures that cost you $30. It's like, I know the tech. I know your cost on resources. The markup is huge. Now they probably have profit. I don't know what their profit margins are, but they have to cover a lot of costs. They got to sell a lot of pictures to pay for, you know. I'm sure the big guy's contract is expensive for him to come and sit in the mall 6 hours a day. But yeah, it's Wonderland Pizza for me. And we do it to have the pictures. I'm not throwing too much shade on it. I get it.
And listen here, I understand, like, and I'm, don't get me wrong, I'm not pretending like I'm better than anybody else because I'm not paying for the pictures. Mm-mm. Because I have my own Wonderland pizza stories too. Right? Like, so for me, the Santa picture is not happening. I'm not paying for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I will do things Let's call this concept Wonderland Pizza from now on.
Okay.
I will do Wonderland Pizza for different situations and in different places. And people will look at me like, are you seriously paying that? I'm like, yes, I am. I'll give you an example. Blue Jays hot dogs.
Yeah.
The foot-long hot dog. I always get one. And it's a ripoff. But it's part of my Blue Jays experience. You know, people, it's funny because I'll sit down when I go with friends. They'll be like, what are you doing, man? I'm like, what do you mean? What am I doing? They're like, you had a hot dog outside waiting in line to get in. Now you're buying. You're buying like the $12 foot long. You could get that for, you know, $3 from the grocery store. I'm like, I know. And they just look at you like you're crazy. Just like, you know, somebody might look at you, you're crazy for the Santa photos. But
yeah.
Everybody does it for their own thing. And you just got to find the thing that gets them. For me, it's the Blue Jays foot long. I'm willing. That's my Canada's Wonderland Pizza experience.
You know what? My Wonderland Pizza is gas.
Oh,
I don't care.
Really?
Yeah, I don't care. I don't shop around.
Okay. I don't shop around, but there's a Costco that's literally 5 minutes from my house. And I will go to the Costco gas bar. And I know that I'm going to be in line for 10 minutes. And I do it anyway. That's my gas. And when I don't get Costco gas, I feel bad. I feel like I'm stealing money from my family. And I don't know why, because if I go to Petro-Canada, I'm just paying like $4 more.
Yeah.
But there's something about that deal. Me and 8,000 other people lined up to get Costco gas. There's just something about it. But no, everybody does it. And I love how people pretend they don't.
I know.
Because you're being judged right now. Somebody is listening to this podcast or watching it and be like, I can't believe Clough pays for the Santa pictures. Mm-hmm. And Roland pays for the Blue Jays footlong.
And definitely someone's cheese that, you know, I'm not a better shopper when it comes to gas. I weigh the sort of that Wonderland Pizza cost against my time. And I'll say it's just if I'm driving past and I look down and I'm at, you know, quarter of a tank, I just think to myself, whatever price I can find that's right now, now's the time when I'm in motion and now's the time when I need gas. So for me to wait and drive, I could go to Costco. I could go across the street. Sometimes the one across the street is a couple, but then I think that's going to take me an extra 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
10 minutes. And really, let's go with efficiency over frugality. So
Anyway, I have to punch out.
You do it. I'll show you. Just went simple this week.
I'm gonna pretend that that's all because of me. Am I right?
Well, it could be that. We talked about memory. We talked about shopping a little bit. It could be. It's on point. Let's like some of the pictures that I throw up. Let's leave it to the viewer's interpretation.
I appreciate the simplicity of it for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I had the resources to make it, which is handy. I had a good red marker. It's good to have a good red marker.
Okay, man. Well, as usual, great chatting with you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Happy to reconnect. We'll see how the week flows and hopefully we can have a chat next weekend. Okay.
Right on. Have a good one.
You too. Ciao, man. Ya.